If you get young people excited about democracy, if you get young people excited about politics, they will be more motivated to learn about their communities, to learn about how real change happens.
That was Scott Warren, the co-founder and CEO of Generation Citizen, a nonprofit organization that aims to improve civic education through working with teachers, developing curricula, and advocating for better state policies. On this episode of Education for Sustainable Democracy, I'll be talking to Scott about his organization's work, how they've adjusted to the pandemic, how they're preparing young people to engage in this year's election, and more. Please stay tuned. And if you like this show, please remember to subscribe, give us 5 stars, and tell a friend about us. Here's my interview with Scott Warren. Hi, Scott. Thank you for joining me. It's really great to talk to you.
Great.
I'm wondering if you could start by telling us about Generation Citizen overall, your programs, your vision, and what you do.
Generation Citizen is an 11-year-old nonprofit, and we're really about transforming civics education. I think civics education for too long has been seen as, you know, the most boring class in school. Here are the 3 branches of government. Here's how a bill becomes a law. And we want it to be, you know, the most vibrant class, you know, the most exciting class where it really comes to life for young people. So that's what we're all about doing. And so our mission is really to transform civics so that all young people are equipped and inspired to exercise their civic power. And our ultimate vision is a just, inclusive democracy that's responsive to all young people. And we do so through promoting what we call action civics. And so the way that we transform civics education and make it more vibrant and relevant to students' lived experiences is for young people to learn politics through doing politics. So we work with middle and high schools, and students choose very local issues they care about: teen jobs, public transit, police brutality. It's obviously come up a lot, and our students have been talking about it for years. They figure out what the root cause of that issue is. So why, you know, beyond the surface level, you know, why are those issues occurring? And then take some sort of real action, largely through using local government. And so they might advocate to city council for more affordable housing measures. You know, they might look at what the state legislature is doing around policing, and take real action. And so it's learning about, you know, it's learning about how government works through that real process.
That sounds like a really cool way to learn about government and civics. Learning about politics by doing politics, like you said. So how do you prepare students to engage in this type of authentic action?
So we actually train educators across the country. That's sort of the primary work that we do. We have a curriculum, and we train them in what this action civics curriculum and pedagogy looks like and how to bring this subject to life. And in this moment right now, providing virtual resources for parents and educators. And we also do some policy and advocacy work. So we really want to ensure that civics is seen as a need to have and not just a nice to have. And so that includes, we've worked at the state level in places like Massachusetts to pass laws. We've organized the rest of the civics education space to really ensure that equity and racial equity is front and center in everything that we do. And we also ensure that our young people are front and center. And so we're working to engage them as alumni. So that's what we do. We've worked with over 90,000 students over the last 11 years and definitely seen a demand for our work right now.
Yeah, I can definitely understand why. There's such a need for that type of engaged, authentic civic education right now with all the issues we have to address. Before we dig into that more, I wanted to ask you a bit about how you were inspired to start Generation Citizen.
Yeah, it was, it was something I started on my own. I had been really active in international activism and super passionate about democracy through my own experience growing up abroad, and just saw this as a need. People, we weren't prioritizing civics education, and so saw this as a way to really transform civics education. But yeah, started it my senior year at Brown.
You just mentioned that you grew up abroad. How did that play a role in your interest in civic engagement?
Yeah, so I'm originally from San Diego, and when I was 8 years old, my dad joined the State Department of the Foreign Service, and so I spent 8 to 18 growing up throughout Latin America and East Africa, and had a number of experiences that were formative where I was able to see emerging democracies in action. So when I was in 10th grade, I had the unique opportunity to observe the first truly democratic Kenyan elections, which actually worked, which is the opposition candidate won, which in emerging democracies doesn't happen all that often. They had subsequent elections 5 years later that did not work as well. And that same candidate rigged the vote and over 1,000 people were killed in the streets. I was in Ecuador where I graduated from high school in the midst of a coup that year and saw people gathering on the streets to oust a president that they thought was not upholding democratic values. And I visited my parents in Zimbabwe when I was in college and met opposition members who were literally willing to put their lives on the line for a democracy that they had never had before. And so all of that helped me realize the power of democracy as something that when it works, brings people together. And, individuals can come together to make that collective difference and the fragility of it. It's an idea, it's a concept, something that needs to be molded and cultivated and improved upon mm-hmm. over time and never take it for granted. So definitely was formative for me, for sure.
I could definitely see how those experiences would teach you that we should not take democracy for granted. Those are
for sure
powerful stories. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a bit more about the Action Civics model that Generation Citizen uses.
Yeah, so we have a specific framework that we call the Advocacy Hourglass, where our young people go. The hourglass being purposeful, it starts broad, gets specific, and then gets broad again, where our young people choose very sort of broad issues they care about: climate change, teen jobs, homelessness, and then they figure out what are some specific ways that they can take action. They form goals, and then they figure out who are the decision makers that can actually help make a difference on those issues. And so, for example, we had a class in the Bay Area in Berkeley that wanted to tackle homelessness, led by a woman who used to be homeless herself, Lexi Tesh. And they did research on, what are some of the root causes of that issue. And they realized that there was a homeless shelter by their school for young people, but it was only open half the year. So they actually advocated to the Berkeley City Council to get the funds to open that shelter up year round, and were successful in doing that. So that's a type of work where it's all right, let's figure out a specific way to take action, and let's go in deep and figure out a way to actually to make real change.
That is a really great and inspiring story, and it's so fantastic that the students were able to get that done. I'm wondering, though, what you would say to teachers or parents or administrators who think to themselves, that's really great that happened, but I am a little hesitant to try something like that, to try an Action Civics project with my young people that I work with, because they might not achieve what these students were able to achieve. They might end up getting frustrated and then feeling that, well, democracy doesn't work, and getting discouraged about the whole situation and the system overall.
One thing that's important to note is that we generally have worked with schools for a semester, sometimes a year, and obviously democratic change takes a long time. I mean, we've seen young people take the lead and run the gamut on things like climate change and gun control. But that it takes a long time to actually affect change. And so, this was a semester project, and they definitely, when they were in front of the city council, had a lot of folks that, said, what is this? I mean, that didn't see young people as necessarily being able to make real change. And I think that was a problem. But I mean, I think that one of the things that we try to teach young people is you can make a difference. You can make change, but it's going to take a long time. And so that balance of how do you empower people? How do you ensure that young people see that they're able to make a difference and make some sort of change, with the reality that change takes a lot of time and that democracy is really frustrating, is something that we've been trying to push for a while now.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's really important to level with students that democratic change takes a long time. It can be challenging, it can be frustrating, but also at the same time, just being heard by adults, from what I've seen in my research and my classrooms, can be super empowering for young people. And I think that's a really fantastic aspect of Action Civics and your programs. You're giving students the chance to explore issues and be heard on those issues by an authentic audience. And sometimes they really get amazing things done, which is really exciting. One of the questions that I have, though, is about the location of Action Civics and how it might be different in different places. The story you just told was about an Action Civics project in Berkeley, California. But what about some of the other areas that you work where it might be a little bit less liberal?
One of the things that's been important to our work is to ensure that we're not just in those liberal places. And so a few years ago, we ended up expanding to Oklahoma and Texas. So places that are obviously not as liberal as other places. And I think what's interesting, we're in Oklahoma City and we're in the central Texas region, and we've actually had a lot of excitement for the work in Oklahoma and Oklahoma City. It's a smaller district. There's not as many nonprofits there in the district, in the city, and families have really embraced this as a way to push the city and the state forward. We have these end of semester events called Civics Days, where young people take action on issues they care about and then present them. It's sort of like a science fair for civics. And I've attended several in Oklahoma and Texas. And what's so interesting to me about it is that those young people are actually more adept at not assuming that the people that they talk to will hold the same values or stances that they do. Whereas in New York or the Bay Area, young people, largely are pushing for similar type measures, maybe pushing a little bit more than elected officials might. But, I've seen Oklahoma students advocating for gun control go toe-to-toe, with members of the NRA. And that's something that's happened. I saw Oklahoma students, there was a measure in Oklahoma that was allowing for, open carry, and there was going to be a lack of tax revenue that came in from that because permits were no longer going to be needed. And so they actually were advocating for a tax that would be, levied on guns to make up for that lack of tax revenue. So it's pretty specific stuff. I also saw a class in Texas. I thought this was a very innovative solution. They were sort of looking at, some students really cared about immigration, which obviously is a spark plug in their states, and some really cared about domestic abuse. And what they did is that they advocated for a bill that would provide specific training to cosmetology workers so that they could spot when they're, engaging in their work, they could spot victims of domestic abuse and offer them support, because a lot of times folks are scared to go to the authorities, especially if they're undocumented. So those are the types of innovative things that might not be as sort of newsworthy, but I think you do see in those places some pretty powerful ways of students advocating for support as well.
Yes, absolutely. Those are really powerful examples. Scott, if educators, parents, or other listeners want to learn more about Generation Citizen and how they might lead these types of experiences, what can they do?
Yeah, so if you, generationcitizen.org is our website, and we have a lot of information there, and so you should check it out. We do have right now a virtual training module that educators could use or parents can use. It's called Kickstart Action Civics. And so it's just at kickstartactioncivics.org. And essentially it's an Action Civics Lite module. So it's five courses online where you'll get an intro to Action Civics, local politics, go through the advocacy hourglass, research and develop an action plan, and actually take action. And so this is something that any educator in the country can go through and get up to speed on what Action Civics is. Right. And if you're interested in learning more and actually bringing Action Civics to, your school or your home, you can get in touch with us just at info@generationcitizen.org. But you we're always looking for more partners. And obviously this is a challenging moment in our education system and our democracy. But I do think that there is a tremendous importance and value in learning about democracy, learning about civics right now.
Yes, absolutely. Things are so challenging right now. And in schools, things are so different than they were a year ago. I'm wondering how you're adjusting your programs to the realities of the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, the gist of it is that we want to be as helpful to schools as we can. We want to be as flexible. We know how much they're going through. We know how much parents are going through. We don't want to be another thing that's added. We want to be something that's useful. So we have put a lot of our training online. We put a lot of our curriculum online. We're adding asynchronous content to our curriculum so that the teachers can use that. Anything that we can do to be helpful, we want to be. I do think that there's opportunities in terms of engaging with elected officials that can be done online. And we're seeing some of that, which is very powerful. And, you know, seeing young people use digital tools to take action in ways that are new and unprecedented, which I think is really interesting. But yeah, we're just trying to adapt and be as flexible and nimble as possible. And a lot of it is around training educators and providing them with tools and then saying, you know, we will be here to help however we best can.
That's great. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who appreciate that. I'm wondering also about the connection to state standards. There may be some listeners out there who think this sounds really great. I would love to do something like this with my students. It sounds like it could be really valuable, but I also have to do what my state and district require me to do as a state employee.
Well, I mean, first of all, we have our curriculum and work and programming is interdisciplinary. And so we have, you know, we can demonstrate how our curriculum meets the needs of state standards, irrespective of where we are. And in a place like New York, there's participation in government class and standards that are supposed to be done in 12th grade. We can show how this is a more vibrant way of fulfilling those standards. In Rhode Island, they have something called the grade span expectations for civics and history. So we're able to fit in there. And then sometimes we're trying to improve the standards and make them better. So in Massachusetts, we've been collaborating closely with DESE, with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education in Massachusetts. They did pass a bill that we helped push forward that actually revises the standards and includes a mandate for civics ed, but we're trying to push that work forward as well. And so, you know, there are states that are doing a better job of this than others. Illinois and Florida are two states that have revised their standards and doing more as it comes to civics education. We're actually about to launch an initiative called 50 by 26, which is all about ensuring that all 50 states prioritize civics education in a meaningful way, whether it's standards or passing legislation by 2026. You know, that's something that we're pushing forward as well.
That sounds like such a great initiative, Scott, and an important one. And it's fantastic to know that so many of your programs align well with the different state standards that are out there. A little while ago, I got an email from you about some of the curricula you've developed to help students learn about the election. Could you talk a little bit about that?
We're running an initiative that called Beyond the Ballot, encouraging young people and people in general to vote and to do more than voting. And so what that looks like is we're going to ensure that young people and adults are registering to vote and pushing that forward. And we're partnering with folks like When We All Vote on that effort. And then we're also providing resources to educators on how to teach about the election. And we're providing resources just to understand what's at stake in this election, how it works, what a peaceful transition of power looks like, why that's so important in our democracy. And the third thing we're doing is actually providing anyone with ways to get involved politically beyond just voting. So that includes, you know, attending virtual town halls, engaging with folks that think differently than you, canvassing for candidates that you care about, writing opinion articles. And so that's something that's important to us as well as and is part of our curriculum. Is voting is incredibly important, and we want you know, civic engagement to be something that becomes a habit that you're engaging in, just like you're engaging in exercise. So that's something that's really important to us as well.
Yes, I definitely like the idea of democratic participation becoming a habit, just like exercise. So if students or educators or parents or others want to learn about the Go Beyond the Ballot initiative, where can they learn about it?
Yeah, so if you go to gobeyondtheballot.org, it gives just a bunch of ways of getting involved. We have a civic action toolkit. We have ways to register to vote. We have election resources. We have a policymaker guide. So just, you know, a lot of different ways for young people to actually engage.
That sounds like a super great resource, Scott. And thanks for telling us about it. I will put the website in our show notes.
Great.
It's gobeyondtheballot.org. org.
Great.
So I'm wondering how you might respond to critics, any critics who might be out there who say that Action Civics sounds really great for the development of democratic skills and pro-civic attitudes, but students also need deep knowledge about how the system works and how things have come to be the way that they are.
It's a great question and one that we get a lot. I think the way that I articulate that is that we are not saying that Action Civics in itself is sufficient. I think we're saying it's necessary. And I think we're saying that if you get young people excited about democracy, if you get young people excited about politics, they will be more motivated to learn about their communities, to learn about how real change happens. And so, you know, I think that that's the important part for us, but they also have to learn history. They have to understand, you know, the history of, you know, the history of democracy in this country and the history of exclusion and inclusion in this country. But I think it really starts with them understanding, you know, and being inspired to participate.
Yes, I completely agree with you, Scott, that being inspired is vital for getting young people engaged in public issues. And being inspired and feeling inspired is vital for all of us for getting engaged.
For sure.
So thanks for all the work that you're doing. And really, I appreciate the time you're taking to talk to me today.
Thanks, Brett. Really appreciate it.
That was Scott Warren, the CEO and co-founder of Generation Citizen. You can learn more at www.generationcitizen.org. And this is Education for Sustainable Democracy. I'm Brett Levy. To learn more about the show, please visit esdpodcast.org. This is a brand new show, so if you like it, please help us spread the word by telling a friend about it. And thank you for listening.